Parashas Mitzayit starts out with the, you know, the Cholam and the Pisar in the Cholam and the plan that Yosef developed based on that Cholam. And what was the Hoyle Yosef for it? If not for the Cholam and for the warning, let's assume there would have been seven Shnei Sova. So what would people have been doing during these Shnei Sova? They would have been eating, enjoying themselves, and taking every bit of prosperity they had and putting it to good use, packing it away in the stomachs and upselling it and using money and selling it to other countries, building big mansions, building places of entertainment. And at the end, then there would have been Sheva Shnei Sova and the whole thing would have disappeared. It would have been a lost culture. The Cholam came and revealed to them an interesting chiddush, that the Shnei HaSova should be used as a hachona. It should be set aside as preparation for the years after that, and they shouldn't eat it up. It's the Shikha Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. It says that so the Rashi says the Pisar and Habliya is that there was nothing left, the food was all used up. The Ramban says that the Pisar and Habliya was that they should set aside the food and use it during the Sheva Shnei Rov. In fact, Ramban in Sakashi says in the middle of Yosef's Pisar and Cholam, see, he says in Eitzet Tepara, Yafke Da Melech, and Yere Paro, Yishnovin Bechocham, Vishiseyu, Yafke Pekidim Ala Oret. How come Yosef all of a sudden gave spontaneously an Eitzet? Melech could have asked him, I asked you for a Pisar and Cholam. I didn't ask you to be my yoyah. It's a shtickle chutzpah for him to volunteer a whole plan to para. So the Rabban says, Al Korchach, this was the Pisra in HaCholam. Because since in the Cholam it says, Batiblana, Ashibolam Adakos, and the Poros, they ate up the Poros, Porom HaToivos. So it showed that during the bad years, they're going to eat up food that's put aside. During the good years, so al korchach there has to be food put aside, which is unusual because people don't put aside. Most people, they take whatever they have during the good years and they use it up. They put a little bit aside, take some retirement account or some type of investment. Well, they're trying to make the most of it and to do whatever they can to live the good life and to enjoy themselves as best as they could during the years of prosperity. So the chiddush of the Cholam was that these times in life which are hachonas, the times which are seriously in need of things that they wouldn't be able to survive without that hachona, but you got to take what you had then and preserve it, right? You put it aside like tibi mala kachumpen. Ramban says, in fact, he brings the Gemara in the Melech Likin, where it says that there's such a kind of material called chunta, which nobody knows exactly what it is, and it, you put it together with the tefuah, and then the tefuah lasts and it doesn't decay. What? A preservative of some sort. And the Chazal tell us that all the tefuah that the Mitzrayim put aside for themselves all spoiled, and that they had to go to Yosef. And Paris said, look, he could be goyzer, that our tefuah is going to spoiled, he could be gozer on us that we should die, we have to listen to everything he says. L'chuel Yosef, whatever he tells you to do, you gotta do. They feared Yosef. But what made them fear Yosef is that they saw that the tefuah he put aside stayed. And the tefuah they put aside decayed. Ramban says maybe Yosef had this access to this secret ingredient called the chumta, which the Gemara speaks about. And he put it in with the tefuah, and the others didn't put it in, so that tefuah decayed. So it's taken. But besides, what do we see that Yosef accomplished? He was mechadish, the main chiddush. The chiddush was that there are times in life that you have to clean from what you have during those years. And not just bask in happiness and pleasure and relax and enjoy it, but that you have to withhold your use of what you have and carefully put away and restrain yourself, restrict the usage of it, but put it in a way that it's preserved and lasts, and it's something that you'll be able to survive on during times when you really need it desperately. That's the aside that we see from the Cholam of Parag. In a certain way, Yosef himself experienced that. Right? He had an episode with the Tzar HaMashkim and the Tzar HaOifet, and before that with the Eshes Potiphar, and before that with the Mechira, all of that linked together added up to Yosef becoming the Shalot on Eretz Mitzrayim, and to be able to L'michyo Shalchani Elokim L'fnecha. So all these negative events would have had no value unless they somehow remained and created a certain potential to preserve Yosef and to be Malachim Ledulim for tremendous purpose, L'michyo, so L'flay to Gedoyla. So here you see the idea that there's a hachona for the future. But the second thing that we mentioned is the Baruch Shalom's hands, right? The Cholam and everything else. That's a Hachonah that's not created by ourselves, by our own effort. But the Gilui of the Cholam was that there were times when you have to take what you have and carefully preserve it so that it should serve as a Hachonah for the future. That was a Chiddush. It's interesting. I find that the archaeologists uncover lost cities. And some of the lost cities were fabulously wealthy. How do you know they were fabulously wealthy? Because you see rich homes, you see rich kalim, you see things that were preserved that indicate that there was a very, very successful civilization here. And you see that the wealthy were extremely wealthy. You see the institutions of the powerful people. And all of a sudden it's covered by dust and earth, and something happened. Sometimes they're able to discover and sometimes not. But it's a tzad ha-shove. The tzad ha-shove is that during the shonim ha-toivos, there was no attempt made to set aside something which would provide for them in the shonim ha-roiz. So when the shonim ha-roiz came, they had nothing. Everything was invested in building palaces. Providing pleasure, it was, even if the palaces could still last under the earth for thousands of years. But there's no way you could convert that palace into something that could help the people survive when they're under attack, when they're under siege, or when there's a roof and there's nothing growing. So there has to be some method of preservation, and the only way is to restrain the usage of the shonim ha-roiz, of the shonim ha-toivos. Hafeldiki yisoid that we see in this chol. In a similar way, Rabbi say. We see what Chazal did in the time of Hanukkah. In the time of Hanukkah, there was a tremendous kufa of nisim v'nefloes, So what did Chazal do? My Chanukah, Chazal tells us this in the Sefer. Lashon HaHacheres, Kvoam Yontif Bahal Vaidur. What does that mean, Kvoam Yontif? They will convey it these days, these 8 days when the light burned, they will convey them that they should become a Yontif. Yontif is Yom Simcha, right? The first thing is the Simcha mentioned last week, and Bahal Vaidur. Now what do? We mention, we speak about those days, about Bayom HaMahem, because though that Bayom HaMahem was wonderful, it was a time for tremendous simcha. There was a nitzochet, we got rid of all the enemies, not all of them, took a long time, but of course, we saw what the Rebbeinu Shalom did for Klal Yisrael. And there's a lot of Shevach Vaidor, but it's not enough. Shevach Vaidor is the experience of the moment. Very much gratitude, thankfulness. It's all good, and it's all important. You have to have that. But that wasn't enough. It has to be a chaluk of the tefillah, and a chaluk of Birkas HaMazon, and a chaluk of the mitzvah. It has to be so part and parcel of Klal Yisrael that 1,000, 2,000 years later and more, we should still be able to draw upon the energy that was injected into Klal Yisrael during that experience and be re-energized every single year from it. Get up in the middle of the winter and feel the warmth of the original Nes Nifla that took place, right? Bimei Matzisyo v'Yechim Ken Godom Cheshmenoi Obono. And that's what Chazal did. They took the Shonim HaToivos and preserved it in a certain way. They didn't have to have a kav chumtun, but don't forget, their voice said this. Kav chumtun is used in the Gemara, and Bamei Madlik, those who are familiar with the Gemara, what is it used for? As a marshal for?
Yerushalayim.
Right? So you put Yerushalayim into your Torah, so it preserves your Torah. Right? So you learn through Shas, and if you put the Yerushalayim into it, when you're learning it, that means the Torah will last you, and it will be preserved, and if not, it will decay and rot. Similar to the tour that rots without the ingredient of Yerushalayim. You think into the fantastic Moshel of Chazal. The Chaim Eloshen works on that in the Nefesh HaChayim, the fourth shah. The whole comparison of a preservative to Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is a preservative. It could take something that has great value, and if it would be eaten up and used then, you would enjoy yourself. But if you want to make it last, loyal and void, you have to have Yerushalayim to make it last. What Chazal did was to take the whole spirituality, the uplifting, the Hisalus HaNeshama, and take it and preserve it for all that it's worth. So inject it and make it a chelik of the life of the Yid. Ada Yom HaZeh. That's why Vayom HaYim B'Zman HaZeh. B'Zman HaZeh of course means in this time of the calendar year. That's really what it means. But in a deeper sense, it means in the current times. Two thousand plus 150 years approximately later, we still have this Zman HaZeh, a preservation, a reliving, a re-experiencing by Yom HaMahim. Chazal did mamish what it says in the Chaloimus of Miketz. It's interesting that Miketz is always, almost always during Chanukah, because the Chaloimus of Miketz, the gilui, the pisra chalom, was to preserve it, encapsulate it, use it for later, not to let it go through. You know, all the world's energy problems, our boy said, would be solved. All of it. We wouldn't have to have atomic energy. We wouldn't have to burn up like they call the fossil fuels, and we wouldn't have to build these water power. Nothing. There's one way if we have more energy than is necessary for everything in the world. Now, if we could capture the lightning, the force of the lightning, when is contains so much voltage, so much power, and it's more than all the power plants in the world. So why build power plants? And be troubled by nuclear waste and by, you know, air pollution and by everything else, a thousand different issues. What's the answer? The answer is that we can't be toifus. It's too much to grab hold of. So every time the lightning strikes, if we had a means of holding on to it, it's fine. But we have no means. So it comes like a flash and it goes. And all we could take is, you know, look at it and be astonished. And we say, but how to encapsulate that mass of gracious, that gibli that we're observing, and that koichus v'rosam oli adam, we have no method, we have no answer. Chazal did, they took lightning and thunder, they took the experience of the Maaseh Chanukah, and they were able to preserve it and prepare it in a form that could be used with that special preservative that only they had access to. Chazal were able to do that. That's the Hello of Chazal. Then they put these two instances, Hanukkah and Purim, and they're able to create the Matzias that we could not only use all the time, but we could draw upon without end. We'd still draw out energy as if there's all the original power. And just like they tell us about Matan Torah, when you sit and you learn Torah, so you could draw out the Baskar Yoitzis Me'achoyre, right? Still coming out, the Kol Godel Velo Yosef. Understand? We were able to do it. And so too by Chanukah and Purim. Well, let's take a look at some of the some of the things that we could draw upon. And during Chanukah, Rabbi said, during the Maaseh of Chanukah, there was almost nothing left of Klal Yisrael. You realize that? There were great super tanoim at that time, right? Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, and the Mela, they were able to usher in the period of Tanoim later, but they were yichidim, and the rest of Klal Yisrael was sort of collapsed and gave it to the influence of the Mitzyavne. Now there were two parts to Klal Yisrael. There were those who were despoiled from Yovan, from Chochmas Yevanis, like it's called at that time. They were dazzled, and they adopted everything. They learned their philosophy, they practiced their lifestyle, the athletic games and everything. And there were others that were overwhelmed by force, right? There was the Shas HaShmad, so the Yochas came with the armies and literally killed people and carried out their threats and showed them that they were serious. In order for Yid to be Shavu Torah Mitzvah, he had to be Maaseh Nefesh, literal Maaseh Nefesh. Right? Not like we say today, Maaseh Nefesh on every little, you know, nonsense of a person. It's a two, one candy bar instead of two, so he's Maaseh Nefesh. Or whatever you apply with their emotion. But they literally, they gave up their lives one after another. And there were people who were dead, and it was the example of those people that provided the Hisoyrus there. Chanan Meshuv Bonel and the others, right? The ones that Chazal talk about. So they were the role models for the Maaseh Nefesh for the rest of class. But there was force. So there was a great section of Klal Yisrael that succumbed to the magic of this Yavne. And they did everything. Gemara talks about, you know, the dress and hairstyles and other kinds of things, and you know, the chokhma that they learned, and then the aveiros that they performed in the middle of the mitzvahs, and so on. They focused on three special mitzvahs, right? Chodesh, Shabbos, and Milah, which you probably noticed, some of you, that's the Rosh HaTevis of Chashmonoim. Chodesh, Shabbos, and Milah. The Chashmonoim were the family that they devoted themselves to the preservation of Chodesh, Shabbos, and Milah. That's where the name came from. Because you know, Chodesh, Shabbos, and Milah symbolize the main elements in Klal Yisrael. Milah is the body of a Jew, is different, and Chodesh is the authority of the Bezdin in the life of the Yid. They decreed every month when there was Chodesh. I mean, the whole Masechta Rosh Hashanah that deals with the Chodesh is all about Bezdin. And Shabbos, I mean, Oisi Veniyu Venechem, it makes a Yid altogether a different creature, Shabbos. So in fact, the main element in our lives is the Shabbos is what transforms a regular human being into a prince, into a walking royalty. So there were those who rejected it on their own and adopted the lifestyle of the Goyim. There were those who it had to be forced out of them. But Beni Beni, between the two onslaughts, there was almost nothing left. You know, just Yechidim, those who succumbed to the both influences, were the vast majority of Klal Yisrael. Now, once the Chashmonoim began the resistance. At first it was only a resistance to the Shema Torah mitzvahs under pressure. And then later it grew to a counter-resistance, to wage war and to rally the rest of the Yidden behind them. You know, the type of Mila Shem Eloi. And then it was rewarded with the Big Nitzachet. But the chelik of Klal Yisrael that rallied to their side, Hashteitzach, was most of the people that were influenced through Milchama. It was against them. You know, they were never maskim. Deep down, they were waiting for the moment when they could get rid of this evil influence that was imposed upon them by force. Yet, for the others, that was already a much harder and long-term job, because to remove a way of thinking from people is not the easiest thing in the world, because they learn to accept it and to admire it, not just to tolerate it. So, in Chazal, they incorporated different elements into the whole Kiyum of Chanukah. The Hallel, the Hidor, the Simcha. Discussed last night, rather, that the Simcha is a basic element, because the Rambam lists that first. Why? Because it's a Yontif. It's a Yontif. It's one of the Megillah's Tainas, the Kiyum of Toiv. At Chazal, and Rosh Hashanah differentiate between the mitzvah and the yontif. The yontif is the Yimei Simcha, the Lola Mispeit behind, the Lola Sana behind, and special yontif. Even though there were many, many such Yomim Tovim, all in the Gilut Tainus, but the Gemara's Maskana is that yontif became bottle and this became safe, not because you needed it just in order to be the kind of the mitzvahs of Chanukah, but because the Etzem yontif was too mafursim to be forgotten about, you know, because of the churban of changing circumstances, and the mavahul olmigul of times. So they had these four elements: the Yumei Simcha, the Yontif, the Hallel, the Hidor, and the Ner. Right, the Ner, which is also called the Mitzvah, the Hallel of Hidor, which are adjuncts to the Simcha, Kvor and Bahal of Hidor. Right. Because Chazal have to address all of these things in order to encapsulate and bring the influence of Chanukah into our own lives year after year after year. I'd be as good. Half of a fellow think is that. I mean, I don't know if you realize what type of action Chazal did in that time, that it didn't weaken. Ki hu zeh, there's nothing less in the manner that we observe Chanukah than they did in 1,000 years ago. And still, people go to all lengths to be medagdic and how to light the neirs, and it's a tremendous time of simcha, of parties and family get-togethers. It's all part of the yomtiv. Instead, even though the Rambam says this, it's another thing, it's sudeh l'zecher l'chanukas hamikdash, but sof kol sof, the spirit of the yomtiv, the simcha, is still here, and the same thing with Purim. So we're able to, when they wanted something that should last l'olam, so it lasted l'olam. They were able to do it. Later on, people make all kinds of takanas that weakened and were forgotten about as time went on. There was a tainus on Chav Sivan and other events, but you know, nothing less well and void. But Chazal incorporated it sort of into the Torah, and the Torah is Nitzri. But they addressed all the different elements. They addressed the Hallel and the Hador, which speaks about Yisachar Shapon Yerimonu, and it teaches us again to realize that every moment of our lives we're being taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Derech HaTeva doesn't obstruct HaKadosh Baruch Hu nor ourselves from Nisim and the flaws. Derech HaTeva is not in Ma'akiv, right? That's one of the things. So that's the Hallel by Torah. And the Neir and the every part of Chanukah has something else to teach us. Now, I want to emphasize one prat over here. In fact, one of the things we say in Chanukah, so to say it, the Mizmor Shircha Nogusav Eisel Dovid, which is a minute to say on Chanukah, and there's something in the Mizmor which tells us about the Yisoid of Chanukah. The Chanukah Sabayas for David, and of course it refers to the Chanukah the time of David and Shlomo. Okay, and it's not just that one word. The fact that there's a word Chanukah and Chanukah, and Mele, we say sometimes the old association between two things is a word Nishmeridim, but the theme of what we're saying is not negated. But there in Mizmor Shircha Chabayis of David, the whole shir is a shir of Hador. Understand, the whole shir is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nisim. But the shir tells you something which is, if you stop to think, every day when you daven, took the zimmer, if you spend 2 seconds to think about it, it'll really like do something wonderful and amazing for your life. Take a look what it says of you. It says, "Ani amarati b'shalvi ba'al emayt liyolam." What does that mean? "Ani amarati b'shalvi." Let's analyze the pasuk very carefully. "Ani amarati b'shalvi," when everything was going well for myself, in time of peace and time of happiness, I said, "Ba'al emayt liyolam," that I'll never collapse, I'll never suffer. Why? Why would somebody say what that was? Stop and think for a moment. Huh? The reason why someone would say like that is, it's like all of us. Whatever happens to us, good things that happen to us, we perceive as a natural condition that's associated with our personality, with our being. Yeah, there are people outside in the world who have tzoras. There's all kinds of problems in the world. But we look at ourselves as being in a natural condition of menucha, of bracha, of happiness and prosperity. When you look at shalva not as a thing given to you, not as a thing outside of you, which you're experiencing and may not deserve to experience bichlau, but you're in giving a matnas chinuch. But what you perceive it as a chelik of yourself, as a chelik of your atzmi is. Ani amarti b'shalvi bal emot li'olam. Think of that. How many times are we nichshel in that type of thinking? And we see our lives as something that defines us. And we ignore the fact that it's a matana that could be given and taken, and who knows how many seconds it might last, and what we should be doing to preserve it. But that's what it is. That's the mitzvah. That's how everybody feels. B'shalvi. Ani amarti b'shalvi b'al emet liyolam. The David HaMelech says, Hashem, b'rtzoincho he'amadato l'ariyoz. I discovered that it's not true at all. I discovered that it's only through your outside that you created this mountain of strength for me, and that you endowed me with it, and you gave it to me as a matana. You know how I discovered it? Because it started from Echo, the easy nipple. The minute you hid your face, I was helpless. I was lost, nipple. I had no idea what to do. All my bravado, with all my self confidence, and all my certainty, disappeared in a split second. It started from Echo, the easy nipple. That's what nivhol means. Nivhalu miponav. Lo yachlu echov lana soy soy. They didn't know what to say. They were in a state of shock. Lo yisi nivhol. What happened though, HaMelech says? Elef Hashem ekra. Right? Elef Hashem eschanon. I cried out. I pleaded. My bet avidomi. My life is worthless. There's no value. Riti o shachas. And I'm going down to the grave. What will be with me? A yoit ha'ofer, I'll be a pile of dust, and I'll be able to do anything, praise you, ha'yagad ha'mitecha, will I ever be able to pronounce the amitiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A plea of desperation, Shema Hashem Chaneini, Hashem he'yoizali. Okay. Now that all this desperation and all this re-understanding of the world came out, restored everything. In the state of misbidi, and all of a sudden I was back again, dancing and singing in the destruction that I experienced. Right? The Hoyisi Nivol was like a dream. I was back on my feet again. Pitachta Saki, you took off my sackcloth, the sack of pinus and of crying and fasting. But as any simcha, and you close me with simcha. But now David HaMelech says, I'll never return to that former state to think for this illusion of Baal Emet Liyolam. Oh no, no more of that. from now on I'll sing praises of Kavod Hashem Yisborach. The lo yido. I'll never be quiet anymore. I'll never get used to it. And imagine as if it's a permanent condition and it's a part of my mitzvahs. Hashem Elokai Eloheinu Melech. And that's something that the whole Maaseh of Chanukah tells us. Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden, endured a plunge down between two crushing forces, one from the Ispailos at the Chatov through of the Yevonim, one through the power attack of the Xeris Hashman on the other side. And what seemed to be a permanent Am HaKodesh, all of a sudden was on the brink of disappearing. That's how temporary something that appears to be permanent actually is. And so what do? We thank Hashem Yisborach for our existence. And we realize what we are, the Am Hashem, the Am HaTorah, the Am HaNivchor, the Am HaNitzchi. But we don't take it as a natural metzias. But we realize that it's Chas Kulei Chas Hashem. And it's something that has to be revitalized, accepted in every single door. Even if you prepare very, very well, right? Parashas Vayigash tells us that the stuff that Yosef prepared didn't last all that long. True? But by the time of the third, fourth year, and the second year, it depends how you learn Chat, right? There's a Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's 2 years after Yaakov came or 2 years before, but in Iker is, it definitely wasn't something that by itself was able to make up for it. But Sof Kol Sof, there's so much that we could draw upon from the Maaseh of Chanukah. So these are the times during these 8 days when we have to really is Maya Mamukim Eitzah B'Levish V'Ish Tzvunas Yivlenu. We have to sort of deeply delve into the Maya Mamukim, pick up a bucket after a bucket, another one of Mayim Chayim that we could draw upon and use to revitalize ourselves during the times of Chanukah. Chanukah now is almost over. Right? It's time it's squeezed in between Parshas Vayeshev and Kate. But we still have more time than we do on Purim. We only have one day of 24 hours and now we have a little bit more than that. And now we'll just try to continue the comparison between the Chaloimus of Paroi and the lesson that we see from Yosef's approach, that we have to use whatever we have now, not just for the present but for the future as well. Right? Here's another pasuk: Ba'al hishonos hachaloyim al paray pa'amoyim ki nochen hadov amim l'kim b'mumar l'kim la'soysen. What does that tell us? What that tells us is that there's no time where you could just sit back and enjoy yourself and forget about the stressful koyach to work on what you have and preserve it for the future. Put that off. Don't forget about it. No. Start next week. Start a year from now. But right now, at least, give yourself some time period where you could relax and approach life with sort of abandon and forget about all that struggle, right? Odom la'omul yulot. You can't really do that. So we have to struggle when things are not good, to make sure that they become good. Right, yes. That's what Yigiyah Kaperik Yisrael Hashem V'Toyvah. But when things are good in Gashmi is good in Ruchni is right, good in Chasi Hashem, you have to take the Chasi Hashem. You have to struggle to preserve it, to use it, to implant it into your Metzius, to watch it. When we say Moedim, we analyze a regular, ordinary day. And we have to sing it three times a day, the praises. And he can't wait. It's not time for dilly-dallying, but the avoider to take whatever good you're experiencing and plant it deeply and make sure that you never lose a drop of it. And that idea could be translated into so many different things. Rabbi said, the Bocher Shiyor, when you're young, you go out, is to buy this valuable experiences. You know, don't wait till you become too old. Like the koich is to do anything with it. Bishakvor hayom haboyim hakol nishkoch. I always said the following in pasuk. We say, Yoimam yitzava Hashem chastoy uvalaylo shiro imi tfilo lekel chaya. What's the pshat? What Yoimam is the day when everything's lit up, Yoimam, during the day. That's when you see everything clearly. Right? There's no darkness. So Yoimam, Yitzhak Hashem Chazdei. You see Chazdei Hashem with open eyes. What do you do, Balayla? Huh? What do you do, Balayla, when you can't see anything? It's all dark. There's Hester Kona. So Shira in me. His song is with me. What does that mean? What that means is that when you experience Chazdei Hashem, turn it into a song. Right? Speak about it. Put it into words, put it into thoughts, and preserve it so that during the time of Laila, so even if you wouldn't be able to experience the Chesed and to live and observe the Chesed, but you'll have the song of the memory of the Chesed, which you'll be able to repeat and sing. Shira Yimi, his song is with me. The song speaks about Hatkufa, when you experience Chesed during the Yom. But you don't need it during the Yom. What's necessary to have that song? But if you're not going to transform the experiences of Yom into a Shir, then when it comes Laila, you'll be stuck with nothing. You'll be total dark, without any relief in the dark. One says, Yoimam Yitzav Hashem Chazdei, and you create out of that chesed shir, so that chesed could give you life and purpose and hope during the time of Laila. And because of that hope, you could look forward to another period of Yoim, which would come after the end of the Laila. And that's what Dwight says, Tfilo Lekel Chaya. Because the tefillah is based on a vision of what the future will bring. And you mispalel so that future should come. But if you can't envision it, then you can't be mispalel. And it's all because of the shir that you created out of the Chasdei Hashem at Yoimam. And you're able to last through the dark days of Laila with the shir reminding you of the past, and envisioning the future, and that's why there could be a tefillah lekel chayim. Yeah. Same idea, right? Chasdei Hashem, you have to speak about lahagav avoygach hasdech, and a mail it will provide you with the avuna balelis. So it's that yisoy that we have here in Parshas Mikesh, and the same you saw it in throughout Hanukkah. The preservation of whatever bounty we have during the Shnei Sova, the preservation of the Nisim and the Flores of Hanukkah, right? So that they should serve as a shir and as a survival throughout the Doris, which is what we're experiencing now. We'll make the most of it, and then we could look forward to a future. And if we repeat it enough times, well then, you know, so then it'll be nochen in the night, it might even come more quickly. Because the more we preserve the past, and the more fuel and material there is to bring about the future more quickly. If they wish to help him, that we should, he made taste for me, I can try him, and in the floors, we should be zoich again to see with open eyes, not just with speaking, but with the Iyam Mamish, to the floors of Boyri like it was by Yom Ha'ah.